The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
All right, all right. Welcome, everybody, to the, I believe this is the 14th episode of the SCU Show. I'm your host, SCU. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right now, today is a great day. I am just the happiest camper today. For many reasons, main one being that Around is ready to go. I built the site today, did not get the domain I wanted for different reasons. So instead of being around.com, we are now around125.com. While that's not exactly what I was hoping for, we'll go with it. We're gonna go with it there, and that's it. September 1st, we're ready to go. But here on the SCU Show, we are ready to go with NFL. We are just, as I record this now, we are 2 days away from the beginning of the NFL season. 2 days, well, technically the NFL season, you know, live on a football will be played in just 2 days. It's going to be awesome. The Cowboys and the Cardinals in the Hall of Fame game. That's, you know, live NFL football is back, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's psyched. I'm psyched. And not just because the Cowboys are playing, but just because live NFL football will be played. For the first time since James White scored the game-winning touchdown against the Falcons in Super Bowl 51. But I want to talk about this tonight's show. Now, a lot of people don't care about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they should. People definitely should start caring about Tampa Bay. Because Tampa Bay is a serious contender. Not a serious contender. They are in the driver's seat to win the NFC South in 2017. Yeah, you heard it first. In the division with the Atlanta Falcons, and they're all a powerful team. Tampa Bay is going to win the NFC South in 2017. Here's why. Let's start with talking about the Bucs. We're not going to go to the Falcons, Saints, and Panthers just yet. We'll get to that in a little bit. The Bucs were literally the last team out of the playoffs last year. They were the last team out. They were like half a game. It's like the Heat of the NBA. They were like half a game out of the playoff race. They were that close to making the playoffs last season. They were so close. They were the last NFC team to be eliminated. It was that close for them. And then in this offseason, they just get even better by adding DeSean Jackson, one of the best wide receivers in the league right now. You don't believe me? You got to watch him play. Hopefully a lot of people have watched him play because he's been in the league for so long. Sean Jackson is one of the fastest guys in the league, and he has a quarterback in Jameis Winston who's just getting better and better and better as his years go on. This will be his third NFL season, and he's just getting better and better. Nothing's getting worse for him. He's getting better. He's got the good receivers. He's got all this other stuff. Things are going up for Tampa Bay. Nowhere but up. They're just getting better and better. And not only that, but they also added who I believe is the best tight end in the draft this year, O.J. Howard. Now this guy's a beast. Like he can get so wide open. Nobody, James will hike the ball and everyone will be like, okay, where O.J. Howard just go? Meanwhile, he's 50 yards down the field, and Winston's going right to him. Great tight end, best tight end in the draft this year, in my opinion, definitely. Evan Ingram close second to the Giants, but O.J. Howard steal for Tampa Bay. That's a great pick. Sean Jackson's going to be a huge contribution. Him and Mike Evans. That is going to be a huge wide receiving duo in the NFL in 2017. Everybody should be looking out for that one. That's going to be huge. Big. It's going to be exciting. James Winston throwing to them. The only thing they're missing is the run game. They have a good defense. The only thing is like the Giants last year. They were doing so well. All they were missing is that run game that they didn't have. Now that there are reports out of Tampa Bay that Doug Martin might not even play the season. They might not let him start. Which, you know, from what he's done with them, with Tampa before, he's done pretty well. So it'd be a crying shame to not see him start in Tampa. But there's reasons for that we won't go into. Tampa Bay, 2017 NFC South champions. And so now we talk about how Tampa Bay is building, the offense is looking good, and all this other stuff. Let's look at the other teams. Okay, so we have to start off with the Atlanta Falcons, right? Oh, the Falcons just won the Super Bowl. You think they're going to slump? You damn right they're going to slump. Every year I watch the NFL, the Falcons have done the same thing. Every other year. Playoffs. No playoffs. Playoffs. No playoffs. Playoffs. It's like taking a flower. Playoffs, no playoffs. Playoffs, no playoffs. This year, the NFL loves you not, Atlanta. And I'm Sean, I might remember this from our days at the former site we used to both write for. I said in a group chat, Julio Jones for the Falcons would not reach 700 receiving yards. Stick it to that. It's probably it's one of those Skip Bayless things you say on radio. But, you know, there's a definite possibility that he doesn't have the same season he did last year. There's a big chance he doesn't have the same season he did last year. Because usually when you have a great season, you don't normally back that up. A lot of players, you know, players like Yu Darvish, he just went to the Dodgers. They're a World Series team. That's a baseball story. Baseball, that's the story for another time. He was a great pitcher last year. Now he's 4-4. His record is 6-9. He's a 4.01 ERA. It's not the best. After a great season, he's going, nothing. And that's what's going to happen to Atlanta. They're just going to not going to be as good as the 2016 team. And then they might pull another 20-50 lead again. We never know. All I know is they're not winning the NFC South. They're not making the playoffs. So it's going to be a rough year for Falcons fans. They'll do well. They'll do fine. They're going to finish about 8-8, 9-7. They're no playoffs. They're not going to be Tampa Bay. You know, just, no. Nah. Then this is one. I'm liking this one a lot. This take right here. Carolina. Yeah, you know, everybody's expecting Carolina to do so well in 2017. Just because, you know, Cam Newton had an off year last year. No. And this is interesting. I find this very interesting, this take. Everybody knows who Cam Newton is now. Yeah, nobody can stop him in 2015. Well, so we were all going to expect him to do the same thing next year. No. I'm expecting him to do what he did last year, this year. Struggle. Hardcore. Why? After that 2015 MVP season he had, teams looked at all the film of Cam Newton, and they learned him. They got into his head. They know how he plays, how he runs. And that's why he was such a big target last year, literally. You know, I don't agree with all the hits that he had to suffer against these teams, especially the Saints, Falcons, and Bucks. But he is a target now. Everybody knows how he plays. He's not going to be the same. And and that's the reason why Carolina, and this goes for any NFL team, the quarterback leads the team. That's a given. That's a definite, no doubt, that the quarterback leads the team. Cam Newton's going to struggle this year, and that's why the Panthers will not win the NFC South. And then there's the New Orleans Saints. Biggest joke in the division, by the way. In my opinion, they're the biggest joke in the division. They haven't made the playoffs in 3 years. Yeah, Drew Brees is awesome. That's great and all. But the team is bad. It's terrible. I mean, they're not the same team that won the Super Bowl 2009. Way by far. And then they go ahead and they will get rid of Brandon Cooks, their best receiver. And they get Ted Ginn, who's been around the block, so to say. He's been around the block. He's been seven different teams. He's becoming the been the testaverity of the NFL, of wide receivers. He's just going everywhere. He's going there, and everywhere. They wind up in New Orleans. So he's going everywhere. I mean, he has the same talent as Brandon Cooks, but it's just like, you know, people are going to remember him for playing on different teams more than what he did with those different teams when he comes to him playing next year. When it comes to when he retires, people are going to remember him for playing on this team, and that team, and that team, and the other team. And they're not going to remember him for what he did on the field. As much. They'll remember what he did, but not as much as how many teams he played. Now here's another hot take about the Saints. 3 years out of the playoffs, four to the five, last 5 years. Yeah, the Saints, don't be surprised if next year Sean Payton's last year as a New Orleans Saints head coach. Don't be surprised. If they do sign him, I won't be surprised either. But that's because they love they're getting their feelings. I think the feelings get into the business. They love New Orleans loves Sean Payton. We can't get rid of him. Oh, sure. Have fun missing the playoffs for the next 6 years. And then Drew Brees is going to retire soon. He's getting up there in age. I feel bad for the Saints people. I feel bad for Saints fans. They are that close to becoming the Aints once more. They're getting there. When Sean Payton's gone, Drew Brees is gone, they're going to be the Aints once more. But forget about the whole, you know, the other teams being bad and the Bucs being good. Look at their schedule. I had to pull up their schedule here. This is a favorable schedule for Tampa Bay. I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule in 2017 as I'm bringing it up right now. It's a very good schedule. I like it a lot. Very good schedule here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Very favorable. And I looked at it a couple days ago and I said, wow, this is a 12-win team right here, Tampa Bay. With that team, the team they have, they are a 12-win team at Miami. That's a win. Tannehill's good. He's going to try to use his feet, which I love, by the way. I love that Tannehill's going to try and run the ball more. But Tampa Bay's a better team than Miami. They pull out the win. Chicago, it's a win. Minnesota, win. You play in Sam Bradford, you win. The Giants, that's going to be tough. I give the Giants that one. That's their one loss. Tampa Bay, New England, another loss. Arizona, win. Beat Buffalo. Beat the Panthers, Saints, Jets. Falcons, lose to the Packers, snack a long win streak. Beat the Lions, beat the Falcons again, beat the Panthers again, beat the Saints again. So if you look at that, they lose to the Giants, the Patriots, the Packers. That's 13-3 right there. They lose to the Patriots, the Giants, and the Packers. That's the only realistic losses I see for Tampa Bay in 2017. That's the only realistic loss. Now, they could definitely lose to the Falcons. I'm not saying they're going to sweep the Falcons, because there's a good chance they don't. There's a good chance they split that season series. But I'm looking at a 13-win Tampa Bay Buccaneers team in 2017. Depending on how other teams do, like the Giants, they're up there. Green Bay's up there with them. They could possibly see themselves having a first-round bye and hosting a playoff game and all this other stuff. Things are looking good for Tampa. It's been so long since Tampa's seen success. It's been a lot. It's going on 15 years now. 15 years since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have seen any types of success. And then now, hey, they're back in it. They haven't been to the play. I don't even know when the last time they went to the playoffs. 2007, when they lost to the Giants in a wild card round. They got demolished in that game. I remember that game clear as day. They got demolished by the Giants in that wild card game. But really, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are probably the fourth best team in the NFC right now, behind Dallas, Green Bay, and the Giants. But the Cowboys, though, they're not looking too well either because of their defense. And that was worries me. I keep telling everybody, the Cowboys are finishing 6-10. So let's not live to the hype. I know I did it last year. But I was not expecting that defense to do what they did. Now that half of that good defense is gone, Barry Church went to the Jaguars, Morris Claiborne's with the Jets, Brandon Carr's with the Ravens. Forget it. They give it the same Cowboys team we saw last year, even though Dak Prescott does what he did last year again in 2017. So really, you can put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the third best team in the NFC behind the Packers and the Giants. And that's the way I see it. 13 wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you think I'm crazy, well, that's on you. Just watch. I can't wait to watch the Bucs football. My dad dated a woman. Big Bucs fan. I went to one game. It was a good time. But the Bucs, I don't believe they did. That's the year they went to the playoffs and lost to the Giants. This year, they couldn't be beating the Giants in the NFC title game. You never know. You just don't know. We will have to see and find out. The season begins in about 5 weeks. Patriots Chiefs open up September 7th on NBC. It's going to be a good game to watch. I don't know about Alex Smith too much, but maybe who knows? We'll see what happens. So I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast, where you're listening on WTuneIt.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, TuneIn, or wherever producer Sean Garner posts this podcast. Thank you for listening. It's NFL season, ladies and gentlemen. We are fired up here on the SCU show. I know I am. I am very fired up on the SCU show. For NFL talk. All month long, we're bringing you nothing but NFL, NFL, NFL talk. Nothing but it. We're going to have guests on every week, and we're just going to kill it. We are going to kill it every week this month. except for August 22nd, because we're doing a special thing with This Week in the AFL leading up to Arena Bowl 30. But other than that, killing here on the SCU show all month long, guests galore. And the first guest for this month of all NFL talk, James, I know I'm saying his last name wrong. I will ask him when he comes on. James Yarcho, James Yarko, editor of the Pewter Plank, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan-sided blog. He will join me next. You are listening to the SCU show.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archive videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com. AFL Fan Zone, your internet home for the best AFL fans.
Hi, I'm Donovan James, and welcome to the Don James High School Football Report, everybody, where we discuss and debate the hottest prep and college football recruiting topics in the country every week, only here on NGSC Sports, 9:30 Eastern. For more, follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports.
It's game time, boys, and we know football. Football the Max is the podcast for you if you want in-depth analysis over the NFL and college football. We preview all the action coming your way over the weekend. And we break down all the big action after it's happened. Plus, we tackle all the big news topics and discuss everything when it comes to the gridiron. So come check out Football to the Max every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the W2M Network.
Are you an arena football fan looking for the latest news involving your team? Inside the Arena has you covered. Check us out for the latest news around both the Arena Football League and the Chinese Arena Football League. Read all of our stellar articles at InsideTheArena.org. Also, follow us on Twitter at @Inside_Arena and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/InsideTheArena.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archive videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com.
Welcome. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the SCU Show. I'm your host, SCU. Now joining us here on the SCU Show is James Yarko, editor of fan-sided Tampa Bay Buccaneers blog, the Pewter Plank. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Yarko?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I am psyched for Tampa Bay Buccaneers football in 2017. So that's why we brought you on here to talk that for the first NFL show of the year. I want to ask you this. Well, what do you think of, let's start with this. What do you think of the addition of both DeSean Jackson? I love DeSean Jackson. He's a great guy. Loved him in Philly. Loved him in Washington. And I love the addition of O.J. Howard. How do you feel about those two additions to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense?
I think those were two absolutely crucial moves that are going to be able to open up the offense in Tampa Bay like we have never seen in the history of this franchise.
Wow.
When you have a guy like Mike Evans, who's already one of the top receivers in the NFL, but he was their only weapon last year. You know, you had Adam Humphries made his contributions. You had guys like Dante Dye and Freddie Martino and these undrafted rookies or undrafted free agents that, you know, they weren't taking any attention away from Mike Evans. So now at this point, you have a guy in DeSean that can stretch the field. and keep the defenses honest. You can't double team and triple team Mike Evans the way that defenses did last year and leave DeSean Jackson to burn the number two corner one-on-one. On top of that, you complement Cameron Brate with O.J. Howard, a tight end that can not only block but can also stretch the field. One of the problems that we saw last year with the Buccaneers is based on what tight end was on the field, you don't know. So I think those two additions were just absolutely phenomenal moves by the Buccaneers in order to continue to see the evolution of Dirk Cutter's offense.
Yeah, before you came on, I was talking. The main topic for this segment was that the Bucs were in the driver's seat to win the NFC South in 2017 because they were the last team eliminated from the NFC playoff picture last year. Then they go ahead and they draft O.J. Howard, get DeSean Jackson. They have a pretty good defense. How do you like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' chances in the NFC South this year?
I think their chances are really, really good. And, of course, tempered expectations for years. You know, this is a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2007. They haven't won a playoff game since they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, the expectations are definitely there. This is the most excited the fan base has been in over a decade because all the pieces are there. And you mentioned that they have a good defense. Well, the key component of that, probably just as big, if not the biggest offseason move, you know, including DeSean Jackson, was keeping Mike Smith. You know, this defense struggled the first few weeks of the season. They were off to a bad start. You know, they lost games that they shouldn't have lost against the Rams and the collapse against the Raiders, who did everything they could to hand the Buccaneers the game. But after the Thursday night debacle when Atlanta just put it on them, you know, they had kind of a mini bye week there, and the defense clicked. And we saw what happened when that defense clicked, and they were one of the top in the NFL as far as points allowed per game, takeaways. So if that trend continues now that these players know Mike Smith's system, he's coming back, that's going to be huge for them. I would love to say that they're in the driver's seat, but I think that probably still goes to Atlanta at this point, despite the Super Bowl collapse, because they are every bit as talented as they were last year. I think the big questions with the Falcons is you have the loss of both the offensive and the defensive coordinator. So can the new offensive and defensive coordinators maintain the success that they had last year, especially as hot as they got towards the end of the season? But I think Tampa is firmly supplanted into the playoff picture. It's just a matter of whether or not they can overtake the Falcons within the NFC South.
James Yarko, editor of the Peter Plank fan site, is Tampa Bay Buccaneers blog joining us. I did not think about that, how the Falcons had lost both Kyle Shanahan and whoever their defensive coordinators. I'm not a big Falcons guy. I had not thought about that. So maybe, and I was saying this, every year, every other year, the Falcons miss the playoffs. That's why I was thinking maybe this year is the year they just fall off the rock and they don't make the playoffs this year. They finish 8-8, 9-7, but I don't see them doing as well as they did last year, obviously, and I don't see them make the playoffs. But now that we're talking about the other NFC South teams, let's talk about Atlanta. Let's go to Carolina. I thought this was interesting. After Cam Newton's 2015 MVP season, teams got film on him, and I feel that last year was how they got to him so much, and I think that's going to carry into 2017. How do you feel? Do you feel the Panthers will turn around next year?
I don't know what to make of the Panthers. I think one of the Panthers' issues is just the consistent injury problems that they seem to run into year after year after year. As great of a talent as Luke Kuechly is, he seems to consistently get hurt and miss you know, 2-4 games. And that's the heart of their defense. He is the driving force of that defense. So when he's out, they tend to struggle a little bit. As far as Cam Newton, I am by far not the biggest Cam Newton fan you'll ever meet. And his 2015 season was more of an outlier than anything. His season last year actually lined up closer – to his career averages per season than that MVP year did. So I expect kind of a similar Cam Newton from last year. I think he will improve a little bit, but that's another guy that was out due to injury a little bit. So the Panthers, you know, they made some really good moves. You know, Christian McCaffrey is going to be a force, especially in the passing game. That's the thing about the NFC South is that it always seems to be such a toss-up. You know, for years it was whoever finished last one season would win it the next season, and then, you know, the Panthers went on a run of winning the division. Yeah, I believe it was 3-4 years in a row. But it's – I certainly am not going to count them out by any means, but I don't think right now, on paper anyway, they are at the same level as the Falcons or the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm with you there. They're not on the same level. I feel like it's going to be another bad year for the Panthers, maybe another 6-10 season, probably worse. We will see James Yarko joining us. Well, the last team in the NFC South is the Saints. They missed the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. Then they go ahead and get rid of Brandon Cooks, who's pretty good, for a guy that's just equally as good, Ted Ginn Jr. And I said this before you came on. They missed the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years, like I just said. I wouldn't be surprised if this was Sean Payton's last year. What do you think? Do you think that Sean Payton should return? Should the Saints not make the playoffs next year?
I think Sean Payton's a heck of a football coach. I do. The problem in New Orleans, as we've seen year after year, and it's almost become a running joke, is that defense. If Sean Payton can get the kind of defensive coordinator in there that can actually assemble a system that his players can not even thrive in so much as just be adequate, this team is a playoff caliber team. They're one of those teams that, yeah, you could put up, you know, 30, 35 points on their defense, but the offense will turn around and outscore you. They need to reel that in a little bit. And even if the defense is allowing 24, 26 points per game, with Drew Brees on the field, he can outscore you. So I don't think the Saints are going to be much of a contender this year. I would pick them to finish last in the NFC South. But that's strictly based on the fact that defense is just – it's still just so bad. And when you're lining up against a team like Atlanta, where they have Julio and Sanu and Gabriel and Freeman and Coleman, you know, that defense can't match up with that talent. The same thing is said about Tampa Bay now. You have all these pass-catching weapons in Brate and Deshaun and Evans and Chris Godwin, who is just dropping jaws on a daily basis from rookie minicamp all the way through training camp so far. I mean, this kid is going to turn out to be a complete stud. And then you have the running game in Tampa, which is a little bit of a question. But when Doug Martin's on, he's one of the best in the league. You have Jacquizz Rodgers, who played well last year. New Orleans does not have the personnel to match up with that kind of offense, whether it's Atlanta or Tampa's, even Carolina's. Carolina still has some phenomenal weapons. And like I mentioned earlier, Christian McCaffrey is going to be such a huge X factor. You know, the Saints don't have a linebacker that can keep up with McCaffrey out of the backfield, and he's going to bust off some huge plays, not just against New Orleans, but against anyone. So the defense is really the Achilles heel of the Saints. To go back to your original question, I like Sean Payton. I have nothing but the utmost respect for him, and I think he's a phenomenal football coach. The problem lies squarely on the shoulders of the defensive coordinator and the defensive personnel. Will Sean Payton return if they end up, you know, with a bad season, a 5-6 win season? Maybe not. You know, Saints fans might be tired of dealing with waiting for Sean Payton and him kind of coasting by based on bringing them that Super Bowl years ago. So that'll be an interesting storyline to follow for sure.
It definitely will be, especially if they miss the playoffs. I believe Black Monday is the Monday after the Super Bowl, which would be February 5th, 2018. So that'll be an interesting day to look out for. Should the Saints miss the playoffs next year, which I expect them, like you, to finish last in the NFC South. James Yarko joining us here on the SU show.
Hey, right there.
Sorry about that. James Jarko joining us here on the SEU show. Last question I have for you. I have two more questions for you. I said earlier that the Bucks were, and this is crazy. I've made people think this is crazy. I said Tampa Bay was probably the third best team in the NFC behind the Giants and the Packers. Do you feel like there are any other teams that might be better than Tampa Bay besides those two?
Behind the Giants and you said Green Bay. I still think, basing it off of recent history and the fact that we have not seen, you know, obviously these 2017 teams on the field, Atlanta has to be placed ahead of them. I do believe that you could certainly make the argument that Dallas is ahead of them. I am one who believes that Dallas is going to be taking a step back this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think Dak played almost above his skill level. It was just the perfect situation. If you see Ezekiel Elliott end up getting suspended, I think that's going to hurt the Cowboys way more than a lot of people do. I mean, everybody knows it'll hurt. I think it'll hurt far more. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Atlanta, Green Bay, New York, arguably Dallas, and arguably the Seattle Seahawks. They're a team that has consistently gotten it done in the NFC West. I think the Cardinals are going to have a bounce back season. I don't know if I would consider them better than Tampa. We'll find out. They play each other this year. So I definitely think Tampa's in that top five, top six conversation. I don't think I personally am quite ready to put them top three, but that's because I've been, you know, following the Bucks my entire life, and I've seen this preseason hype before, and I just have to temper the expectations so that I don't get too angry during the season.
That's funny. I haven't paid much attention to Tampa Bay, but now that they have the weapons and the offense, I paid attention to James Winston since his Florida State days. So seeing him in Tampa, it's worked out well for them. James Yarko, final question. Who do you have playing in Super Bowl 52, and who do you have winning Super Bowl 52?
Oh, wow.
I got him.
I will go with the Patriots over, and it pains me to say that because I don't like the Patriots.
Nobody likes the Patriots.
I will say the Patriots over the Green Bay Packers.
That sounds like a good pick to me. I write from Musket Fire fan side of the Patriots blog. I said that the Giants and Patriots would meet in the Super Bowl this year. It's part three. But the Packers would be my second team to play New England. So we're not too far off here. James Yarko, editor of the Peter Plank, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan-sided blog. I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the SCU show. And good luck to Tampa this year in the season. I'll be definitely watching them.
It was certainly my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I always enjoy taking some time to talk Buccaneers football.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good stuff, James Yarko. All right, be right back, SEU show.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archived videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com. AFL Fan Zone, your internet home for the best AFL fans.
Hi, I'm Donovan James, and welcome to the Don James High School Football Report, everybody, where we discuss and debate the hottest prep and college football recruiting topics in the country every week, only here on NGSC Sports, 9:30 Eastern. For more, follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports.
It's game time, boys, and we know football. Football the Max is the podcast for you if you want in-depth analysis over the NFL and college football. We preview all the action coming your way over the weekend. And we break down all the big action after it's happened. Plus, we tackle all the big news topics and discuss everything when it comes to the gridiron. So come check out Football to the Max every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the W2M Network.
Are you an arena football fan looking for the latest news involving your team? Inside the Arena has you covered. Check us out for the latest news around both the Arena Football League and the Chinese Arena Football League. Read all of our stellar articles at InsideTheArena.org. Also, follow us on Twitter at @Inside_Arena and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/InsideTheArena.
Okay, so I'm probably the only one saying this, and I'll probably be the only one to continue to say this until I see something different. The Cleveland Browns will not finish worst in the NFL this year. By the way, I want to thank you once again, James Yarko, editor of the Peter Plank, the fan site of Tampa Bay Buccaneers blog, for joining us here on the SEU show. Good stuff from him. Cleveland will not finish worst. They'll be the fifth worst team. They'll finish with 6 wins. The fifth worst team would not finish with 6 wins. But they're not going to be the worst team. And I was talking to my friends earlier, and everybody kept telling me that the Browns. They're going to finish the worst. Cleveland is not going to finish worst in the NFL next year. Not at all. It is not going to. There are four different teams that are worse than the Browns. San Francisco, the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Bears. Let's go down the list, shall we? San Francisco has no quarterback. Matt Barkley, Brian Hoyer, a bunch of mediocre quarterbacks. Not winning you anything, ever. It's not going to happen. San Francisco is like a 3-win team. They're going to be one game better than last year. It's a joke. Yeah, they have a bunch of rookies and all this other stuff. Pierre Garçon, but the quarterback, God. I wrote an article about this for NinersRadio.com. I'm the editor-in-chief over there now. I believe they really should start their rookie quarterback, C.J. Beathard, at Iowa, third-round pick. He's not the best quarterback, but he's not Brian Hoyer, he's not Matt Barkley, so I would love to see what he could do for them. Unfortunately, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan will probably go in another direction. Most likely starting Brian Hoyer, winning 3 games, and then everyone's like, oh, same old Niners. It will be the same old Niners in 2017. Nothing's changing. Not yet, at least. Maybe next year when they get Kirk Cousins, maybe things will change, but right now, you're looking at another 30-win season for San Francisco. And fans scratching their heads like, oh, why? What's going on here? And there'll be room for Kirk Cousins to come, which he will. You will see Kirk Cousins in San Francisco next year. Chicago, oh my God, this is the worst. Mitchell Trubisky is so overrated. The guy had one good season, the only season he played, and he goes second overall to Chicago. And they signed him to a 4-year deal. I believe it was like a $29 million contract. I'm probably wrong on that. I'll have to look into that. But they signed him to a 4-year deal. The guy's not going to do anything for this team but lead him to the bottom of the league. The Bears are going to be so bad, they got rid of their best receiver. They got rid of Alshon Jeffrey, who's going to do some good things in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz and Torrey Smith now. It's gonna be bad for the Bears. Feel bad for Bears fans. Feel bad for Niners fans, feel bad for Jets fans, feel bad for Jags fans. But forget Chicago. Like, as long as Mitch Trubisky starting in Chicago, it's not going to work. The best thing there is going to be Jordan Howard, and that's it. And we don't even know he'll do well. We don't know if he'll have a repeat performance. We don't know anything. And if Jordan Howard doesn't do well, the Bears, geez, it's going to be a real long season in Chicago. I'll tell you that right now. Jacksonville, they do the same thing every year. They overspend way too much on good players and finish with 5 wins. I'm not saying it. And everyone's going to probably think to themselves, this is all Blake Bortles. But it's not all Blake Bortles. It's on the team itself. But these guys are so good and so talented. They would have done well even with Jacksonville. But no, that's like a curse. You go to Jacksonville and you're just bad. You just do bad. You play bad football when you're in Jacksonville. I don't understand it. It's like a curse in Jacksonville. Will they win a Super Bowl? If they do, probably after I'm gone. Probably after all of us are gone. If there's an NFL in 100 years from now. And then there's the Jets. The Jets are the worst team in the league. They will finish dead last. There's no doubt about it. They have nobody. There is nobody on that team that makes them good. Except Lucky Whitehead. But Lucky Whitehead is kind of questionable himself. So there's a little, the Jets, So the Jets are the worst team in the league. They're going to finish in last place. Oh, well, that's what I wanted to look at the Jets' schedule. I'm going to pull it up now. And I mean, we already talked about the Jets playing the Bucks, so that's a definite loss for the Jets. Let's look at the schedule. Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor is a great quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. Let me take that back because that is so wrong on my part. Oakland, Miami, big blowout losses right there. Jacksonville, we'll see what happens. The Browns, they'll lose to the Browns. The Jets will lose to the Browns. Will beat the Jets. I can tell you that right now. No doubt about it. New England, they might get shut out. The Dolphins again, big loss. Falcons, big loss. Bills, big loss. Bucks blowout. Panthers, it might be bad, but they're going to beat the Jets. The Chiefs, I don't like their chances in the AFC West. That's another story for another time. But they do. They will beat the Jets as well. Denver, New Orleans, the Chargers, and New England. That is an 0-16 team you're looking at. I am not kidding. There is an 0-16 team in the Jets. So you got the Bears with the overrated quarterback. You got the Niners with no quarterback. You got the Jags who overspend on everybody and nobody does well. And the Jets who are nobodies themselves. Like, the whole team is nobodies in New York for the Jets. The Giants, they're going to the Super Bowl next year. Or they'll play the Packers in the title game, the NFC title game, and then we'll see what goes from there. All right, so NFL Among Us, ladies and gentlemen. Very exciting time of year. Unfortunately, the show did not go as well as we planned, but that's okay. It's been a long day anyway, so it just adds to it. So with that, I want to thank you all for listening to the latest episode of the SCU show. I'm your host, SCU. I want to thank James Yarko for coming on. Talk some Bucks football. Bucks win in the South next year. Book it. I'm your host, SCU. Enjoy the Hall of Fame game. We will be on next week with another guest and hopefully less technical difficulties. Thank you to producer Sean Garmer for saving the day and producing this podcast. Thank you for listening. And until next week, we will see you later, everybody. Goodbye.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.